Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us challenge as well. Daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical, way. I'm going to get this down one of these days. My name's Pastor Paul Androlonis, and I'm here again with Philippe Siragi in the studio. We're here every Tuesday. We've been here. That's what I'm saying.
Like, oh my God, again.
Gosh, I got to be with this guy. This guy over here. Next week, right? Oh, that's right. Yeah, next week we are. Yeah, talking about family. Yeah, but today it's you and me. And we're talking about our purpose in the light of eternity, which is the theme of this week, in the light of eternity. And it's an interesting, it's an incredible thought to think about our lives in the light of eternity, and specifically our purpose in the light of eternity. And maybe you want to kick us off here with your thoughts, what God's put on your heart as regarding this topic, and what we want to talk about today.
I want to think about God's this way. Like, there is the reason why we call the Bible Revelations, because we couldn't figure it out by ourselves. Hmm. So having this bird's eye view, which is God's thoughts, you know, on us, allow us to have a perspective that is different on our own events, and even we'll see that through the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that is one way to understand our lives in light of eternity, I think.
Yeah, we're looking at our lives looking from God's viewpoint, which is in, you know, He is eternal, and we are seeing ourselves in that we are made in His image and in His likeness. And that's something that He is teaching us, is about this eternity that He's put into our hearts. And
yes.
That's also in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It talks about that, you know, the fact that, you know, and actually Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven.
Yeah. Like,
but God is in heaven, and He has given purpose to those things under heaven.
Yes.
And the purpose is, you know, we can see that purpose in the light of this eternal viewpoint that God has. And I think that helps us in the perspective that we have, in the circumstances that we're going through, the situations that are happening in our lives, the ups and downs, the, you know, things that happen as we go about our lives. But in Ecclesiastes 3, you know, it goes through in Ecclesiastes 3, all these different things. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up. And it goes through and you know, time to gain and lose, to tear and to sow, it's silence to speak. But then in verse 11, it says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in our hearts.
Yeah.
Except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. So, like, God has put this eternity in our hearts. We can't find out the works, all the works of God. We know in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, you know, His ways and His thoughts are higher than our ways. But if I recognize that His ways and His thoughts are higher than our ways, then my ways can't compare to His, but He has an eternal purpose. He has this bird's eye view, as you said, of what's going on, and that, you know, knowing Him, who God is, who He says He is, like what His word says about Him, that He loves us, that He cares about us, that He, you know, we cast all our cares on Him, for He cares for us, that we can look in the light of eternity, in the light of His perspective, like, okay, I understand this God that I'm serving. And maybe I look at the circumstances and the things that I'm going through and have a different perspective in that, because of because of an understanding, or because of what God has put in my heart. He said, you are not made for these times. You are made for actually for eternity. He's put eternity in our hearts for us to live our lives that way. And I think that that's an important thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is the initial plan, you know, when you think about God planted Adam and Eve in the garden. That was the initial plan.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, the fall came along and with the consequences. But then it is possible for us to think differently. Like, we, you know, we use in theology that word autonomy from God. Like, we gain autonomy from God in the Garden of Eden, and we're trying to keep it. And the humility leads us to getting back to our autonomy to God and thinking His thoughts. Mm-hmm. Also, having the mind of Christ in us, you know, like as Philippians 2, for example. And I think so. it relates to what I said at the intro. Like, yes, God has spoken, and we can actually think His thoughts as well. But thinking His thoughts requires a different, you know, a different view on things, a different perspectives. And you mentioned Isaiah 55. I think there's a lot to say in there in that regards. Like Isaiah 55, 8 through maybe 11, but 8 and 9 are the main ones. So my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And it's not that God is not proud of him being more intelligent. You know, that would be one way to read that. That would be so wrong. You know, if it were you and I talking, and I was saying that to you, I'm thinking, oh, gee, this guy, you know, like, you know, he's going to choke on his own, you know, pride, you know. And, but God is just stating the facts.
Yes.
And if I were to live in heaven and capable of seeing what happens on the earth with God's capacity, I would have a different perspective on things. If I can see the end of a matter, as Ecclesiastes would point it, then I would know that my perspectives, you know, would be changed. So what we're saying, like living with a purpose in light of eternity, that changes everything. And maybe at some point we can go through some examples in the Bible, but maybe you have something to say about that first.
Well, I was just thinking about Job in this, you know, these examples, and just thinking of what God's response to Job.
Yes.
You know, Job's asking, obviously, you know, maybe if we're not familiar with the story, Job is a righteous man that Satan goes to God and says, this guy will not follow you or honor you if I take away all these things that you've blessed him with. So God says, okay, we'll try this. Well, I'll let you take everything away. I'll let you take all his riches, his family, all these blessings that he has. I'll let you do whatever you want to him except kill him, is basically what God allows Satan to do. And Job has this interaction with God. What is going on? I wish I was never born. I wish, you know, he has this, you know, I feel like I'm hedged about by my enemies, all these different things. And then God, you know, responds with, where were you when I stretched out the heavens?
Yes.
Where were you when I did this and I did that? You know, and then Job's response as a result of that is that all he can do is, you know, put his hand over his mouth and just honor. And that what you said about God making known the facts is not him boasting, but it's just him, you know, declaring the truth about who he is. And in this case, it drew Job closer to him, as opposed to pushing Job, you know, giving him a, you know, an attitude towards God where, oh, well, you know what, you know everything and I know nothing, so why should I even bother? But he's being drawn closer to God in that. And I think in the same way, you know, his ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. That's something that we take confidence in, that we can come boldly to his throne and not feel like we are imposing on him, but we are loved by him and cared for by him, and not like I don't know anything, and, you know, have it be something that puts us down on ourselves. But it makes us want to be closer to him and know him more, because he knows all things, and because he did, you know, stretch out the heavens and spoke the universe into existence. And that is not a boasting, like you said, not something he's boasting about, but something that is true. And maybe it could offend if somebody sees it that way, but if it's it's also, if it's true, then that he loves me and cares about me, then how else would I respond but to think, oh, You're the comforter, and you care about me, you know.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm going to make a joke on that, because I don't know if you know the comedian, you know, Brian Regan. He's funny in a way, but he said something when somebody, a friend of mine, sent me one of his skits, and people boasting around the table. You know, he says, "How do you beat a guy that went on the moon?" You know, so he says, "You've seen that." So there's people around the table. He says, "Well, I went to Germany on the autobahn and I drove 200 miles an hour." And people say, "Yeah, what?" And the guy is chewing his food, and then at the end, he goes like, "Yeah, well, I just walked on the moon," and that was the end of the conversation. So, just like it would mean this, like, I mean, you know, if Buzz Aldrin was here, like, I don't know if I would want to talk about anything except the Bible. I know a little bit about it, but I would be very careful about a lot of things. And I think it's the same thing with God. Can we all agree that God has, because of who he is, like, he can see things we can't, he can actually foresee things that we cannot. And having his thoughts based on his promises and the trust and faith we can leave as Christians, change the way we think of our own lives. You know, when I do counseling and people go through hard times, there's always a question that I like to ask before we start. I mean, you know, because it's easy. It can be when people, we all go through suffering, of course, but when people go through very difficult sufferings, grief in particular, what I realize is that it's always hard to find the right words. And when you give verses, you can give the impression that, okay, I'm quoting Bible verses and let's move on.
Yeah.
So to avoid that, I'm asking the question almost every single time, like, do you think God has something to say for your situation? You know, and the goal of this is just to have a slower approach and saying, if you say yes to this, then I can help you with some Bible verses, because I'm prefacing what I want to say.
Yeah.
But I think it's a big question for me all the time. Okay, I'm going through maybe a time of struggle or making decisions that are difficult to figure out.
Yeah.
Can I just ask God for wisdom? Yes, the Bible says so. But I can also chill in a way. Yeah, well, you know, like, does God have something for me in this situation? Can I have... And then in the bigger scheme of things, as we say in English, at the end of the day, this doesn't really matter, because we will spend the rest of our lives in eternity in the presence of God, where nothing else but Him would matter. And of course, us, you know, in His presence. So having the right perspective, see the purpose of our lives, and we'll discuss a little bit about suffering later, I think, because we only understand, there's a whole show happening, I think, Thursday, so we don't want to touch completely on that.
Sure, but,
I like to just make some comments about perspective, if you allow me to do that.
Of course, yeah.
Thank you, appreciate it. So, Isaiah 55, we spoke about this. So the point is, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are higher and my ways are higher. We get that. That's perspective for me. And then when you look at the Bible, it's so interesting, you know, when you look at, you know, 2 Samuel 1 and 2 King, there, those stories in the three books are actually repeated in the First and Second Chronicles. And there's always interesting thoughts when you compare the same stories, like about Saul or any king, or Ahab, or the others in the Bible. You always realize that their stories is told again in Chronicles.
Yeah.
So Chronicles has been written after the return, probably by Ezra, where he reiterated what was said for the people, but actually was inspired to God to give some explanation. Almost like it's almost a noted or commented version of King Samuel and the Kings. But all the annotations and the commentaries are God's perspectives. So in the book of Kings, you see such and such kings died. After reigning 8 years or whatever. And then the same king in Book of Chronicles died because he did what was wrong in the eyes of the Lord. So that's also a perspective in that way, where we see, like, okay, well, you know, like, we might go through, we lose someone, maybe there is discipline, or we lose someone and then because there is a bigger purpose. And that purpose is hard to find when you don't have God's point of view, right? And there's many passages in scriptures. I'm thinking, we were talking earlier about Joseph. You know, when you read the story of Joseph, that is a complicated one, because he's so, I mean, think about the trauma that we would have to discuss in a counseling session.
I know,
you know,
right?
you're hated by your brothers, you know, you know, and being the favorite of your father is already a problem in the family. So, you know, when the father has a favorite child, that's a bad idea. And then, so, and he goes there, he likes wisdom. So he brags about his promises. I have this beautiful coat, you don't. And then it goes on, but he's been sold to Egypt, and then, you know, as a slave, and he's bought, and then he's lied about. He goes to prison, he asks for help, he doesn't get the help. It's like we're talking 2.5 decades, 1.5 decades about, you know, struggling. And then something happens, he ends up being promoted. But then when we look at the story, at what point can you and I say, reading just that, well, he was sent by God? We can't unless we read Psalm 105, which is so amazing to me, because Psalm 105, I need to find the verse, because I it's a long psalm, but is it, I'm trying to find it, where it says that God sent Joseph to Egypt. Is it
17,
is it? The earth, yeah.
105:17.
Right, yes. He sent the man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. So Psalm 105 is as a context. It's a psalm written where you see the history of Israel and how God intervened. And that's also a good example of perspective. Like, if I were Joseph, would I appreciate that someone writes Psalm 105, you know, summarizing my life and my mess, you know, in one verse saying I was sent by God, I don't know if I would, unless I see God's perspective, which is eternal life. Yeah. Yes, I went through a hard time, but maybe God was preparing me for something. In that time, I couldn't see it. But then God always, I think there's two levels in our lives where, that God does things that we don't see. When I go through a trial, God is doing to the, he's preparing me for something later in my life. He's also preparing me for eternity at the same time. Mm. And then when we lose that perspective, then we're in trouble, right?
Yeah, I think that that's, yeah, that the summary of Joseph's life.
Yeah, one verse.
He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Like in this, that, you know, God, in God's viewpoint, that sums up all those 15 years, like you said, of what happened. God had a purpose for him. And in a similar way, there's that Christ was sent, you know, from God to do all the things that he did, which is like the simplicity of God, like in his eternal viewpoint of all these different things and how we maybe overcomplicate these things, our lives, the situations, maybe, or circumstances that are happening because we are looking more temporally at the things that are happening to me in a natural or a experiential perspective, as opposed to thinking about the eternal things or the things that I can't see that God is doing in my heart or in my life as a result of these situations. And we have examples of those circumstances and those times. And the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1 talks about that when he's writing the letter and he says, these things that have happened to me have been done for the furtherance of the gospel. Mm-hmm, God had me put into jail and sent to Rome for a purpose. And that purpose, maybe I didn't even know. And maybe you look and say, how could this be for the benefit of the gospel? How could this be a good thing? But in God's eternal perspective, that can be something that can be for his glory and his honor. And I think that that's like something that when I was thinking about this topic of purpose in the light of eternity, I couldn't help but think of the Westminster Catechism that answers the question, like, what is the chief end of man? Like, basically, what is man's purpose, essentially, is that question. And the Westminster Catechism says that it's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And you know, because as you already mentioned, for all of eternity, it's going to be us and God. Yes. Like that's what heaven will be. Us, Jesus's glory lighting up heaven and us experiencing his glory, worshiping him, honoring him for the rest of eternity. And now in our hearts, we have that desire and that longing, I think, to do that.
Yeah.
That is our purpose, that we would glorify him and that we would enjoy him and that there those things that we will do forever we can do now. And I think it starts with, you know, this knowledge of him. We talked about it earlier about in John 17 verse 3, I think it is, that this eternal life that we have is that we know him.
Yeah.
So like our purpose, like thinking about the purpose that we have as human beings, glorifying God and enjoying for him forever, like what does that look like practically speaking? Like how do I enjoy God? How do I glorify him now in my experience, in my life that I'm living on earth? I'm not in heaven yet.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not experiencing his glory in that way, but in my life now, in this in you know, whatever, however long I have in the situation that I'm in, How do I recognize my purpose, you know, to glorify him? Or how do I exercise that purpose or God's call in my life in that purpose?
Yeah, that's why I think God gave us the revelation, which is the word of God. Like we look at things, you know, Romans 15:4, like everything has been written for our instructions, right? That's the way it's worded in Romans 15. Mm-hmm. And in that way, Paul is actually saying that, hold on for a second, you know, the people that were before us are, you know, that cloud of witnesses that we're talking in Hebrews 11:1, Hebrews 11, you know, is that cloud of witnesses is the same thing, right? We have those stories before us. And when I read my Bible, when I meditate, it says, you know, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Mm. And I think that sums it up in one way. Like the hope we're talking about here is exactly the hope of eternity. Because I don't feel eternity right now. We're dying people. Like death is part of what we do. But then there's many things that we look at our lives that are lacking that perspective. It's just the way it is. It's like my soul clings to the dust in Psalm 119. So it's not like, oh my God, I am in the flesh. Yes, I can think with God. Yes, I can live in the spirit. But then naturally my soul clings to the dust. So I forget that perspective very easily. And I would like to come back to what you said earlier about Job. It's interesting because at the message, Sunday night, the pastor in our church, Pastor Schaller, spoke about Job, again. Yes. And he said something interesting. He says, Job went from asking questions to answering questions. And that's so interesting because I think he referenced, the expression God in the dark. And I think it's a book by C.S. Lewis, who is actually saying we went from people understanding who God is and trusting him to people not understanding who God is and starting to put him in the dark, meaning that he's on trial, And that's interesting because we find that a lot. I teach apologetics, in Bible college. And one question that comes a lot, in people's mind all the time is why, if God is, there's so much evil in the world, I cannot believe in God. And so interesting where we actually put God into the dark, like he's the accused and we're going to judge him and we'll see at the end of his trial whether he's worthy of being acquitted or he needs to be condemned. It's so interesting in the way we see life now, like we are so individualized, we are not individualized, we are so into individualism that we end up entitled. I think always individualism brings to entitlement. It's always the case. So we look at things and then we don't accept God's perspective because we want pleasure now, we want happiness now, we want, all our problems fixed. And we see God as a vending machine. And when God does not supply what we want or what we need, then we're short-sighted. We see this life. And I think it's the reason why we're unhappy. I'm not talking about difficult circumstances, but we are unhappy, or we lack this joy. It's because I think we're short-sighted in the sense that we believe, maybe unconsciously, but we live as this is the only life we have. And I understand that the world would think this way because that's exactly what they believe. Like we see someone's dying, 16 years old. Oh, is it a life wasted? Yeah. Well, not if he's saved. And that's the point. But that's the only, somebody died at a young age. That's a pity. Yes, we get that. We lost someone that we, it's not in the order of things for a parent to lose a child. Yes. But then there's more to the story than that, but we lose that perspective and that just affects the way we live on a day-to-day basis. If God has something for me today, that will change my day. Can I live in joy despite my circumstances? That's one way to live eternal life for today. Right?
Yeah, and I think that connection that you kind of made it with hope, my purpose is going to be linked with whatever I'm hoping in.
Yeah.
If I have no hope for anything, like you said, I can't believe in God because there's evil in this world, right? That being a reason why people don't believe in God because they see the evil in the world. How could there be a God if there's so much evil happening? But like if I am living my life without any type of hope, then my life will seem to be meaningless or purposeless, really, because I don't have anything that I'm looking forward to. I don't have anything, any type of benefit or any type of expectation for something to happen in my life, maybe, because I have no hope. And in Romans 5, it talks about that. In verse 3, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. Now hope does not disappoint. Like hope, this hope that we have in God, which gives us our purpose, really, like our purpose to glorify God is linked with the hope that we have in Him because of what is the second part of verse 5, it says, because the love of God has been shed abroad or has been poured into my heart. Yeah. So now my purpose is linked not only with the hope that I have in God, but in His love that I have in my heart too. So my purpose is not based on what I think is the best thing for me to do, but it's linked in what that my identity that I have in who God made me to be,
yes,
and the impact that that has on my decisions and my life, because now I have a perspective that is bigger than just what I understand, you know, because his bird's eye view is way better than what he can, yes, see what's coming, and I can trust him in it. And not that we don't go through those trying times, and like you said, they'll talk about that later this week, but if I have a hope in who God is, then my perspective is also linked with that same, with the thing that I'm hoping in, or thing that I'm looking towards, which is God, so that my purpose is as big as he is. And I think that that's something that people are missing. You know, I have no purpose because I have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are looking for that purpose in their life, I think, and they're looking for meaning in their life. We talk about it in biblical psychology as well. Like, I think talking about our heart, you know, the center of operations for the thoughts of the mind, decisions of the will, appropriations of truth, I should know the definition, Pastor Stephen's definition by heart. I was like, I can't get this wrong, but I am, you know, center of operations for behavior.
Yes.
Basis for all motivational thinking. So like the center of us as human beings in our hearts, that's the center of us as who we are as humans. And we already said in Ecclesiastes 3, God has put eternity in my heart. Mm-hmm. So if I am hoping in something that's not eternal, then I'm not going to have any purpose.
Yeah.
Because it's not eternal.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be deficient. It's going to fail. It's going to fall apart. And with it, my heart will still continue to have that emptiness, that purposelessness, because I've tried to use something temporal,
yeah,
to fill the eternal hole that is in me as a human being. And I think that's part of what makes us special as human beings, being made in the image and likeness of God. We are, you know, creation was very good after man was, mm-hmm, created, mm-hmm, but is that we have that eternity that God has put in our hearts that,
yeah,
only he can fill. And
yes,
we see that filling, like Jesus is an example of what that's meant, what we were meant to be like as human beings before the fall, before we disobeyed. But I think that that's a, you know, hope connected, yes, with my perspective,
yes,
and the my heart desiring for something eternal as opposed to something temporal.
Yeah, and the Bible, Paul says that our hope does not disappoint. That's the difference between, yeah, you know, last night, actually, in my class, we spoke about, you know, what faith is, and there's, you know, definition, of course, in Hebrews 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I was challenging the students, realizing that many times we define faith in such a unclear way, where faith is some unknown, some place where, you know, I'm on a cliff and I'm going to jump, trusting that God will just, you know, catch me.
Yeah.
There's some hyper-spiritual, you know, definition of it. Well, the words that I use in Hebrews 11 are really strong, the substance, evidence, or proof, mm-hmm, whatever translations we have.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting in Hebrews 11, he actually says, you know, that it is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for.
Yes.
And it is because the hope that we have, if we have the eternal perspective, in light of eternity, to use the title of the week, then my hope becomes something different here, right? So, and actually Paul calls that in Titus 1:2, the hope of eternity, right? In hope of eternal life with God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So if I start, you know, verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness, the in hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began.
Hmm.
So again, eternal life, you know, is connected with hope in that sense. And yes, I think that's a big one also, like, because I think that it's interesting, you know, when you think about, you know, what we experience as human beings, you know, maybe we want meaning, we want to be accepted, we want to be loved, we want to find, you know, a purpose for our lives, and we have hope and, you know, love. There's all kinds of adjectives that defines us immaterially, not physically, but yes, immaterially. And the Bible addresses all these by saying, well, we get all these answers if we submit to God, if we trust God, if we see our lives in light of eternity. There's a question being asked, you know, like, you know, how can I know that I have given an eternal purpose by God? Here's your answer. You know, meaning by that, we have the Word of God that gives us a different perspective. And we'll go back to what we said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And again, about perspective and faith and hope, when you look at Hebrews 11, which is, you know, as we said earlier, it's one of those amazing chapters. And I think it ties up what we've been saying so far, you know, because we see those guys over here, you know, we have the defense of faith, and then we have a great class of witnesses, you know, and it's by faith Abel, and by faith Enoch, and by faith, you know, Noah, and by faith Abraham. Mm-hmm. And when you look at all these stories, you know, they're all like, in a way, as we're, you and I were discussing this, it's almost like somebody has rewritten history. I don't think the book of Hebrews, sometimes as a joke I tell my students, I don't think the author of the book of Hebrews know his Bible really well. You know, and you know, what do you mean by that? Well, because I don't think what I see in Hebrews 11 is not what I see in Genesis, for example. Sarah believed. Well, she didn't. She laughed, yes, you know, and yeah. Abraham was amazing. He was not amazing. He messed up a lot, you know, and, you know, and then Moses and, you know, and, you know, Noah, you know, and of course, you know, you look at all these guys, it's almost like either Genesis is lying or Hebrews is lying. It's actually not that. It's a perspective, you know. Though this messing up and failures and things that we that hurts, you know, us, you know, in a way, or you know, or even sometimes puts us in guilt, shame, or even fear of God, when put back in God's perspective, in Hebrews 11, no, this is what God remembers. Lot the righteous. Come on, Peter. Lot wasn't righteous. He messed up the whole thing. He wanted to give his daughters to save the angels, and because they were virgin. So he was offering his kids to be raped by people, by the mob outside.
Yeah.
And you call him righteous? And then, you know, it's like, and then when you wanted to save him out of Sodom and Gomorrah, you wanted to put him someplace. You look at the city. Oh, look at this city. Isn't this city small? I could go there and hide. Okay, go over there, you know. So, but then God has a different calling, you know, for you know, or Moses, the meekest man. He's so meek that when he was angry, you know, and he slapped on the rock, he was not permitted to go into the promised land.
Yeah.
So is that rewriting history or is that a different perspective?
Yeah.
And when we look at this, it gives me hope. Like Peter says, Elijah was a man just like us, you know. Mm-hmm. So somewhat like a big sigh, oh, yes, I can relate. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now that I see things in the light of eternity, not just the light of this, because if I believe implicitly that this is the only life I have, even though I believe in eternal life, if I live as this is the only life I have, all my messing up, all my shortcomings and my sins, everything becomes a problem. And but if I see things in the light of eternity, then the hope comes in faith and trusting in God. And now I can ask the question, can God say something about my situation? And by doing this, then I think differently. You know, it does affect my thinking completely.
For sure. And I've, like, so we talked about the circumstances, the material things that can impact our viewpoint or our purpose and seeing, you know, how do I see my purpose? How do I see my life and the meaning of my life or God's calling on my life, the practical aspects of why am I here? What am I meant to do? You know, you hear people, they're looking for that answer to that question. Yes. What am I meant to do? And what, I mean, I couldn't, like, what do you think about, because like, if we knew what God was calling us to do, would we, or what God's purpose was for us, would we go through, would we want to go and do the things that he's calling us to, right? Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. So God's purpose, not my purpose.
Yes.
Like, am I, like Joseph did, see God, he had a dream that his brothers and his father, mother would bow down before him.
Yeah.
Like you said, he went and expressed that
smart
and
move.
Kind of started that process for him being sold into slavery. But he knew, he didn't know how he would get there, but he knew what the end would be.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, like, Jesus knew what his purpose was and he knew how it had to it had to happen.
Yes.
And I was thinking about that in relation to, like, we want to know what God's purpose is for us. Jesus knew what God's purpose, what his purpose was for becoming a man. It was that he would go to the cross and he would pay, die the death that we deserved and take on our sin on his body and be crucified and rise again. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, you see him in this interaction with the Father, Lord, if it's your will to take this cup from me, you know, do that. If it's not your will, then, you know, and this struggle that he maybe in his humanity is having in fulfilling his purpose. So I think we get wrapped up a little bit in wanting to know what our purpose is, as opposed to wanting to know the God who has given us this purpose in our life. Like even Jesus, the Son of God, knowing what his purpose was, he had those questions. He had that struggle in fulfilling it.
Mm-hmm.
So how much more us as human beings would we, knowing or having an idea of what God's purpose is for our lives, would we be able to have the strength or have the resolve or have the hope to fulfill God's purpose if we knew what it was?
Yeah.
As opposed to knowing that God's purpose, his ways, his thoughts are higher than mine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I trust in him, knowing that, okay, he has a purpose for me. I don't know what his purpose is for me, why my car broke down, why I don't have a house to live in, why my grandmother died, why whatever the situation is, we don't have answered those questions, but he has given us himself and he's given us a hope in him that won't disappoint, like you said, so that I can be called according to his purpose, so that everything will work together for good, and I will know him to those that love God and are called according to his purpose, right, in Romans 8:28. But that in this knowing him, I experience the eternal life, the everlasting life, the purpose that's sourced in him, as opposed to, you know, the things that are seen versus the things that are not seen. Mm-hmm. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, we mentioned it earlier, but it says in verse 18, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose that I don't see that God has given me is eternal.
Yeah.
Like the purpose maybe that I see, my purpose is to do this or that. My purpose is to be successful. My purpose is to change my city. My purpose is to, you know, fill in the blank with whatever you want to fill it in with. But if it's something that is seen, then it's temporary. But God's given us a purpose that's unseen, a purpose that's beyond what we can imagine or think. Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, we're so focused on knowing what our purpose is, when maybe God's purpose is something we can't even imagine what it would be. You know, I can't even, like, where my life is compared to where I thought it would be when I graduated high school, or even 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you, like, I can't, couldn't even have put myself in the places that he's put me, you know, in one sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like something I think that's an encouragement for us, that I'm trusting in the God who created the heavens and the earth,
mm-hmm.
and he has a purpose for me, and I can trust him in that, as opposed to limiting my purpose to what I understand, what I comprehend, what I think is best for me, and being constricted really to that small viewpoint of what my life is meant to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. We use the word hope and perspectives and God's thoughts and the Word of God in what we're seeing, like the internal purpose. And it just says about, you know, like, you know, I remember, you know, I mentioned that a couple of times, but anyway, the point was, one series we had in our church was about legalism versus grace, and how legalism puts us at the center and grace puts God at the center. And I think the idea of purpose is the same thing.
Yeah.
If I'm looking for my purpose, then I'm in the center. If I'm looking for God's purpose in my life, then I'm looking at him at the center. Right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing, really. It's like, it's having the light, in living in the light of eternity puts God back in the map in my life, you know, and if I don't, as we were saying, like, individualism brings entitlement. So I'm unhappy with things around me because I'm unhappy with my purpose. I think it's a challenge for our young people, you know, they're trying to see, you know, and we had this conversation with the seniors in high school this week. Actually, I had a class with them on Monday, yesterday morning, and we're talking about, you know, like, you know, we're trying to fit in and in society when we're young. But the issue about this is that we're trying to fit in without God, you know, like, and that's how peer pressure succeeds in making us things we don't want to do. But if I do have a purpose and I see that it's not about my happiness solely, God wants me to be joyful, of course, and happy. But if it's God into the perspective, then brings to the question in a bigger place, yes, I can see things in light of eternity because it's about God more than it is about me. And the Bible does say if we put God in the kingdom of God first, I think it's Matthew chapter 6, then all things shall be added unto us. Mm. But if we add things unto us, then we don't include the kingdom of God, and that becomes a problem because we lose the sense of eternity, which gives it the sense of purpose. Mm. Just like we see in the book of Job, you know, the purpose of God was seen through like a big, there is a bigger picture that he didn't see. That yes. he never explained to Job, by the way.
Yes.
And same thing with Joseph. You know, there's a bigger picture, which is I want my people to be safe, you know, when there will be a drought. So I'm going to send you there so you can actually prepare a place for them, you know. Mm-hmm. So yes, in that way, he was sent, you know. But then he had to be humbled. And we have to take that story. Remember that we have to be humbled to be able to see God's perspective and things.
Yeah, and maybe just as we wrap up, the thought is like, okay, well, if God has a purpose, mm-hmm. then what's my role? What role do I play in God's?
Yeah.
If His purpose is going to be fulfilled anyway,
yeah.
then why should I do anything? Why should I But I think the end of Ecclesiastes, we started in Ecclesiastes and we'll end in Ecclesiastes, but the last verses, it talks about the conclusion of the matter in verse Ecclesiastes 12:13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. And this is after talking about, you know, the vanity of this life, the vanity of my purpose outside of God, we could say. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And I think the focus of verse 13, fearing God, like recognizing God's purpose and keeping His commandments while going along with what we said earlier, glorifying Him and enjoying Him in Colossians chapter 3:23. Like I do everything that I do to the glory of God. I do heartily as unto the Lord. Mm. And I am fulfilling God's purpose in my life by doing that.
Yes.
And maybe I don't feel like I don't know all the answers or have all the, you know, I don't know all the steps that go along in that, but I know that my purpose is to glorify Him and enjoy Him, mm-hmm. and that I can do that by fearing Him and keeping His commandments as we've read. So having an eternal perspective, bird's eye view, helps us to know what our purpose is.
Definitely.
In the light of eternity.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more, and check out the rest of the episodes this week as we continue to talk about eternity.